looking forward to the next 3 days, Monday, Sunday. We're at Sunday already. And then Monday comes after that. Happens every week that way, doesn't it? Then Tuesday. So we're gonna do that this week, and we're going to have some good times. Psalm 106 is where I'm headed this hour. You want to be finding that. I was going to tell you just to give you an idea of kind of where we're headed this week. Wednesday morning this week, I had been over in Peoria, Illinois, for Monday and Tuesday, and I got up at 3:30 in the morning and drove the 150 miles back to Chicago to the Midway Airport, and then caught a flight home to Nashville, Murfreesboro, I got on the airplane, and I fly with Southwest a lot. I made 52 trips with them last calendar year, so I kind of have status, you know. I get to walk on the airplane pretty early and get the seat I want, and I sit in the same seat every time, 17 seats, the one I want, and I sit in the same seat every flight. Done that hundreds and hundreds of times. I went back, got my seat, and somebody came, and the flight was full, so I had to get up twice to let somebody in the middle seat and the window seat. Then I hear these people coming down the aisle. Turns out there's three ladies coming down the aisle, and they're, I would guess, in the neighborhood of being 40, 41, 42 years of age, all three of them. I learned just from listening, they're traveling together, and they sat down in row 18, which is directly behind me. The lady in the seat, I'm on the aisle, the lady in the seat right behind me, turns out, is a talker. A loud talker and a non-stop talker. The lady in the middle seat is a cackler. A loud cackler. And everything the loud, nonstop talker says, whether it's a one-liner or some little story or whatever, the cackler is sounding off every time, just not saying a lot, but just cackle, 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 cackle. So we got a loud talker and a loud cackler. The lady in the window seat, she's laughing. She's not a cackler, but she's laughing. And every time the talker finishes a punchline or ends her story, the cackler sounds off, and when she kind of dies down, the lady in the window seat, and I'm telling you, if she said it once on that hour and 10-minute flight, she said it 20 times. She looks over at them and she says, "Seriously." Sometimes it's with a reflection of uncertainty. Sometimes it's with a reflection of certainty. But seriously, seriously, seriously. Now, I tell you that. I mean, sometimes you don't have to look for stuff. It just falls in your lap, and that one just fell in my lap. This week, I'm going to be looking at you, Pastor's going to be looking at you, Brother Arthur's going to be looking at you, and we're going to be saying, "Seriously, seriously." You know, there's all kinds of stuff we just need to get serious about. You know, and if you want to cackle once in a while, well, you can do it at McDonald's. But anyway, we're going to do some things it's not fun and games at all, but it's important stuff. Important for you, important for your family, important for your marriage, important for your community, people you want to influence, all of that. So we're gonna load up here every time and do our best. And I guarantee you, some of you are going to come out through the lobby tonight or in the morning or tomorrow sometime, and you're going to look at me, or you're going to look at Pastor, and you're going to say, "Seriously." And we'll let you do that. We'll let you do that. That'll be good. Psalm 106 is where I want to be this hour. I do have a little book table out there, and you come out and look it over if you would. I have something brand new that my wife just did for Mother's Day. You ladies will like this. This is just off the press this week. It's called An Ordinary Woman. And the subtitle on it is Becoming a Godly Woman Who Lives an Extraordinary Life. And it's a nice piece. I think you'll like it. Here's one she did last year called A Lasting Legacy. Here's one that another guy and I did called Should Christians Be Cremated? That's a hot topic. Go ahead, cackle. Seriously. And then here's one I did last year called Making Marriage Great Again. Now, you can guess who I had help with getting the title on that. Making Marriage Great Again. You guessed it. All right. But it's a good piece. It's a good piece about making marriage great. And I think you'll like all of those. I got a bunch of those just $1 items out there, as well as some other things. We'll talk more about that as we go. All right, Psalm 106, right at the top of the chapter. Let's read the first 4 or 5 verses there. Verse number 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance." Now, we're stopping the reading there. This is a long chapter, 48 verses of it. And the verses that follow, verse number 6 all the way through verse 47, is somewhat of a rehearsal of Israel's history, the good times and the bad times, good leaders, bad leaders, times they were up, times they were down. This portion that I've read, verses 1 and 2, rejoicing in the Lord. Good idea. You and I have things, I mean, we need to look for things that reflect the blessing of the Lord and rejoice about that. Verses 4 and 5 are a bit of a prayer. In fact, I would say it is a prayer. But I want to look at verse number 3 because of the statement that it makes that is applicable to me and you. Verse number 3 says, "Blessed are they," that tells me there's blessing to be had, "blessed are they," not just for me, notice it's a plural pronoun, "blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times." And we have here what I'm going to call a twin formula for blessing. Number 1, it says keeping judgment. Number 2, it says doing righteousness. Now, the keeping judgment here, the term judgment in this verse it's not referring to the judgment seat of Christ. It's not referring to the great white throne judgment. It's not referring to the judgment of God at all. You notice what it says. It's something you and I can do. Blessed are they that keep judgment. So it's something you and I are supposed to do. So what are we talking about? Well, the use of the word judgment here is in the same way in which if I were to say to you, what's your opinion about the weather today? What am I asking? I'm asking you for your judgment on something. If I were to say, if I wanted to go to Philadelphia today, or go to Pittsburgh today, or go to Cleveland today, and I'm going to drive, what's your judgment about the prospects of that trip? Now, if it was threatening snow and ice or whatever, you would use your judgment, and you'd say, well, that's not a good day to go. So when he says here, keeping judgment, he's talking about us having an opinion, having a value, setting a value on something, and basically it's talking about principles that you hold dear. You've got an opinion about, well, why is that opinion what it is? It's something about which you have figured out what the rationale should be and what the truth is. So he says we ought to find that out and keep that. And then the second thing is, and do righteousness at all times. So basically what we have in this verse are two things. We have principles and practices. Now, it's interesting to me that some people never get their principles in place, and consequently their practices are awful. I mean, you can't imagine there would be people living in York who would, let's only let our imagination go there. I mean, there's wicked things happen that makes the news every day. I mean, is it possible that people in our neighborhood would do stuff like that? Well, why do they have a drive-by shooting? We'll say at the 7-Eleven, or why does somebody rob a bank, or whatever? Well, their principles are missing, and thus their practices are bad. So some people never get their principles in place, and they go out doing bad stuff. Now, there are other people who practice correctly. They do the right things, but they don't have a clue as to what the principles are. And you say, how is that possible? They're just doing what Daddy told them. They're just doing what Pastor said. They themselves don't know the why and so forth, but they've got somebody that they're looking to who tells them what to do and why to do it, and so they do it based on that. Now, that's what I sometimes refer to as borrowing convictions when you don't have convictions. Well, I'm going to do it because I know Pastor would be pleased, or I know my dad or my mom would be pleased. Now, look, if you don't ever get any further than that, I hope you'll stick with that, you know. I hope you won't give up on that if you can't go any further. But what we would like to see you do is get to the place where you've listened to Pastor, you've read the Bible, you've listened to your godly mom and dad, and somewhere along the way you've said, you know, I like that. That's right. I mean, there's no question that is the truth. And whether Pastor's around or not, or even if my mom and dad are dead and gone, I can handle this, and I will do the things that my principles teach me to do. You know, Betty and I have a grown son and daughter, long since grown, have families of their own. In fact, they have grown kids now. And shocking to us, but the only thing I can figure is my grandkids' parents are getting old. I don't know what it says about the two of us. But anyway, you know, when Marlon and Davina, our son and daughter, when they left home to go to college, we thought we had things in place with them. But boy, what a delight it was when they, out from under our roof and out from under our wing, things came up and they began, I mean, just one time after another, they began to pull the cord at the right place and make choices on their own when we weren't there to watch them. Oh, my. I mean, it does not get any more delightful to a mom and dad than that. Now, we would hope that every person who comes to the Lighthouse Baptist Church, we would hope that somewhere along the way, one piece at a time, the principles will get in place. Now, knowing what's, I mean, having read the Bible, you'd agree with me, I think. There are so many principles in the Bible, I'm not sure I even know them all yet. I'm working on that. And I've got a lot of them nailed down. But once in a while, there's something comes up, and I say, ooh, what do I do about that? And so I go digging to see, is there a Bible principle that will tell me what to practice on this particular matter? So what we got here in this verse, blessed are they. God promises to bless. If we get our principles in place, keep judgment, and do the right thing at all times. Now, you remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he had a story that he told about two guys, one who built on sand, the other one built on the rock. I call them Sandy and Rocky. Now, and you'll remember that. If you build out build on sandy soil, that house you build on that sand, there'll be something come along and move it one of these days. But if you build on the rock, you're in good shape. Long time ago, when Betty and I had just been married about 2 years, I was still in college and pastor of a church in West Tennessee. And we had a family come to our church and join, and they were Greeks. They were Christians already, and they were Greeks. They'd been in this country I don't know how long at that point, but a little while. But they had very, very heavy Greek accents. Just sweet people. Never forget his name. His name was John Papa John. And they'd been with us a few weeks, and one day Brother Papa John said to me, he said, Pastor, that thick Greek accent, He said, would you and Mrs. Smith come? And they were 60s or something at that point. We were only in our 20s. And he said, would you and Mrs. Smith come and have dinner at our house? So, well, we agreed to that. And went out on a Tuesday or maybe a Friday or something. And our town and our church was 5 miles from the Tennessee River. Well, they lived right on the Tennessee River. I mean, literally on the riverbank, but it was up on a bluff about 50 or 60 feet above the water. And we pulled up in the driveway, got out, went up to the door, knocked on the door. One of them came and opened the door. We walked in, and I shall never forget. I mean, immediately, it was obvious. There was no carpet. There was no tile or anything. But they had just cleaned off down to the solid rock and anchored their home and literally into the rock on that bluff that was, I don't know how deep the rock was, maybe even a few hundred feet deep. But they anchored the foundation of that home in the rock, and the floors in the living room and in the kitchen and everything was solid rock. Now, I haven't been back there in years, but I guarantee you, a lot of the rest of the stuff may have changed around there, but that one will still be standing. I mean, unless somebody comes along with a bulldozer and knocks it down. Now, hopefully you and I learn the principles of God sufficiently so that we get ourselves anchored, because principles are foundational. And if you and I get the foundations in right, then we're down the street here somewhere on Tuesday morning or Thursday afternoon, and something comes up. Well, I'm not at church. All those folks packing Bibles, all those folks that more mature than I am, they're not here right now. What do I do? Think about your principles. What are the things that you know? What are the values that you've learned out of the Bible? And plug them in when the circumstances develop. Now, point is, principles dictate practices. You say, all right, you're talking about principles, Bible principles. You say, well, what are we talking about? I'm glad you asked. I knew in advance I was going to do this morning, so I looked up a few just to have some for instances. For example, Matthew chapter 7 has a verse that says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. And there I have a principle. The principle is, I should treat you the way you like to be treated, like I want to be treated. Very, very simple. I should not do anything towards you that I would not want you to do toward me. If I practice that, and if you practice that, wow, we're going to have a good fellowship. Simply because we treat one another right. Now you say, where am I supposed to plug that in? I would suggest you plug it in at church and at home. Did I say at home? Yes, plug it in at home. And when you go down the street to a restaurant and they get your order wrong, plug it in. Or if you're at the doctor's office and the doctor gives you an appointment at 8:30 and doesn't see you till a quarter of 10, plug it in. Treat everybody like you want to be treated. I'm telling you, it's revolutionary. But it is a Bible principle. All right? Let's look at another one that's kind of like it. Ephesians chapter 4 has a verse that says, and be ye kind. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now you think of that. Somewhere in these buildings this morning, there'll be little toddlers, 2 and 3 years old, 4 years old, and some teacher will be teaching them a portion of this. I mean, it's taught in every Sunday school, and be ye kind. So the children can go home and say, Mommy, I learned a verse, be ye kind. And you know what happens to us sometimes? Whenever we get to be grown up, we forget that we learned that. And so we're not kind. Betty and I have been married a long time. Scare you if I told you how many years. We've been married 57 years. I was only 3 when she married me. And You know, we decided pretty early. I've probably told you when I've been here before, our first 2 months of marriage didn't go real well. We love one another dearly, but we had a little trouble when we began to try to live under the same roof. Well, what we did, because we weren't getting along real good, but we looked at each other and we said, there's some things missing here. And literally, I'm telling you, we dug some stuff out of the Bible. And I promised her I would practice it. She promised me she would practice it. And you know what? Things changed at our little house. And they changed for the better. And so we've been having a big time for a long time. Now, one of the things that we've tried to do, and by the way, if she were here, she would be approving, nodding, and maybe even saying amen out loud on all of this. She's not perfect, and I'm not perfect. And there have been times when we've maybe said something that was a little sharp or whatever, but if I catch myself doing that, or if she catches herself doing that, we correct it immediately. You say, why would you do that? Because we've got a Bible principle that says, hey, dude, shape up and do it. Simple as that. And so we're all sinners, and nobody's going to be perfect. And even when you know the principle, you may, you know, but when you find yourself not quite as kind as you ought to be, hey, there's some other principles about forgiveness. And in fact, that verse talks about forgiving one another. Well, you got to be a forgiver and do the forgiving. I mean, all those are Bible principles. And it will affect and it will impact. Here's another one. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. You know, I noticed something when I came in the building this morning. I did. I'm serious. I parked out here on the parking lot, and before I got to the door, the gentleman who was on the door had the door open and a smile already. Pastor was standing there in the aisle. He greeted me warmly. He and I walked around. I've been greeted by, I don't know, 25 people already warmly. He and I walked in here and walked down this center aisle. I mean, there was a buzz going on. I mean, it was like life, 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 life. What am I hearing? I'm hearing there's some heart, some heart, some heart. I'm not just trying to brag on you. I'm just telling you, I saw it already. I mean, when the choir sings, I mean, well, I don't want to sing in the choir, Pastor. I don't want to be in the choir. Then don't sing in the choir. Get your heart in it. You know? I don't want to usher. I don't want to, you know, whatever. You know, somewhere along the way, give your heart. Put your heart into things. And the Bible says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Here's another one. James chapter 4, we're talking about principles that will impact your practices. James chapter 4 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So you say, well, I haven't violated the Ten Commandments. Well, I doubt that. But let's just suppose you say, well, the Ten Commandments are all those thou shalt nots. That's true. But there are other things the Lord says we are to do, and if we do not do what he says do, what have we done? We've sinned. Simply because we omitted something that the Lord said we should do. Here's another one, Philippians chapter 4. This one will help you. You ought to have this one underlined. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, that one is a humongous verse, really with a bunch of principles in it. If it's honest, do it. If it's true, sign on to it. If it's just, give it place. If it's pure, give it place. If it's lovely, give it place. In fact, here he's not only talking about doing, but he says, think on these things. Now you know the why of that. Your doer never does anything your thinker hasn't thought of. But what your thinker thinks, your doer will eventually do. So you get your thinker to thinking right, your doer will do right. Amen. I don't know if I can say that again or not. But it's a Bible principle. And there's some others, like Hebrews chapter 10 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Say, well, I was thinking about doing a big fishing trip on Sunday. I'd rethink that. I think there's Bible principle. You say, you don't believe in fishing? I like to go fishing. Well, maybe once every 10 years if somebody will take me who knows what we're doing. I've been fishing before, and I don't think there was a bit of sin involved in it. But I didn't miss church to go. I didn't do it on the Lord's Day. I just think I got Bible principle for that. And a lot of other such things. You know, over the years, we have, and Betty and I grew up in Western Kentucky. Our family's about 5 miles apart. And we've had family gatherings, family reunions, all that kind of stuff. And some of her family, some of my family would have had the same principles that we have about not doing stuff like that and missing church. But some of the family, mine and hers, would have said, hey, yeah, let's just do it and make a big deal on Sunday. But they learned long ago. They learned long ago. We love them dearly. But if they're going to plan stuff like that on the Lord's Day, we're not going to be there. We're just not going to do it. You say, but it's family. I know it's family. But the Lord's just a bit ahead of that. And so you say, well, you're just being ugly. No, no, no. Bible principle dictates our practice. And on and on. There's other things. I mean, I could continue to run the list here. There's lots of Bible principles. And the point of this whole passage is, and it says, blessed are they that keep judgment. They're getting their principles in place. They've got the right judgment, the right value system. And they keep that. And because they keep that, then they go and do the right thing, when? At all times. And the first word of the verse is, blessed. So, this just means that God will get in on it if you and I get our principles in place and then effectively put our practices together like they should be, do our best with that. The Lord says He will add His blessing to us. So, principles dictate practices. And the two of those together your whole philosophy of life will come out of that. Now, you know, just in summary, somebody wrote something similar to this, and I've kind of got my own little structure of it here, but it's not original with me. you know, there's no God like God the Creator. There's no book like the Bible. There's no salvation except through Christ. There's no promise God will not keep. There's no person God cannot save. There's no problem God cannot solve. Therefore, I'm positive that whatever the Lord has laid out in His Word, I'm positive if I take that and apply it, whatever He's promised, He'll make good to me. This morning I was getting a bagel at a local eatery. I was minding my own business, sitting under the golden arches. pretty early this morning. And I got a text from a man who sends me a text every Sunday morning. He lives in another state. He's an executive vice president of a college, but he sends me a text every Sunday morning, and basically he usually says, I know you're preaching somewhere today, and I want you to know already this morning I've prayed for you. Now, that alone, I mean, it just does something for me when Sunday comes. But this morning what he said in the text was, I'm praying for you, period. God is able. I was sitting there in McDonald's eating my bagel, and that text came, and I looked at it, and I just about had myself a spell right there because I looked at those three words, God is able. In fact, I whipped out a napkin and started writing some notes that if you sign up to read the sword, you'll see it in the paper soon. God is able. He's able to do anything and everything. You know, God is able to save the best of men and the worst of men. I wrote down a whole little bit. God's able to keep every promise he's ever made. So if you and I line ourselves up with him, I mean, just principle-wise. I mean, start at the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. See what that tells us. That means I'm not going to pay much attention to Mr. Darwin. I just line up with God, and when I do, line my principles up. The Lord says, I can bless that. And the blessing comes. So what I'm talking to you about this morning are right principles, and they result in upright practices. And I think that's commendable and recommendable to all of us. Our Father, I thank you how good and precious your word, your truth is. And dear Lord, I pray that you'll help us to catch hold of this in a fresh, new way today. And may it be precious to us in such a way that come Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, that we'll just be reminding ourselves, okay, what principle do I have that'll help me here? I pray you'll give your best and blessing to every person in this room this morning. And bless, I pray, our meetings together these days. In Jesus' name, amen.